Chapter 13. Old Playmates. I'm the first to look up as one of Mam's scouts mists into the warded children's camp. There is a hissing noise when they rise out of the ground and begin reassembling themselves. Others can't hear it, but I can. It's been a week since the attack. Scouts come and go every night, tracking calling movements and carrying messages to and from the Duchess of Hollow. Mam and Leisha were closer when I was little. We spent summers in Cutter's Hollow and winters in Everarm's Bounty, the capital of New Crasia, and everyone got on. But then Mam and Leisha had that stupid fight and we ain't been back since. I just as soon not hear the worrying reports, but sometimes my ears are a curse. Mam will barely let me out of her sight, and even when they whisper, I catch every word. Something is building. And the reaction among the children is a restless eagerness. They polish weapons and touch up tattoos, pacing the camp like demons at the wards. But I can smell their fear and their hunger. Ella isn't the only child with a latent addiction to the rush of power that comes from eating demon meat. The mist takes the shape of Stella Inn. She's ready to receive you. Unnerved, I feel my bladder straining and step from the camp to find a private spot to relieve myself. As I do, a figure breaks from the crowd, following a few paces back. Ella Cutter. I try to ignore her, but it's no use. I won't be able to go with her watching. Night, Ella, I call over my shoulder. Can I make water by myself? Ella puts a hand on her hips. Changed the wet nappies, Darren Bales, and held you steady while you aimed at the privy. Why so shy now? Already got a shadow, I say. Don't see why I need another. Your mum just wants you safe, Ella says. Something's in the air, Darren. Don't pretend you can't smell it. I say. But I ain't some city boy, never seen a demon. Been going out in the naked night my whole life. Give slack on the leash so I can step behind a ripping bush. Ella twists her lip, fighting a smile as she turns her back and allows me to take a few steps away to untie my pants. Mam is waiting as I come back into the camp. She holds a hand out to me. Come along, Darren. I swallow my fear and nod, holding my breath as I take her hand. For a moment, her magic joins with mine, filling me with love and warmth and fierce protection. And then she rips me apart. I wonder if this is what Dad felt when he died. Just a sense of being pulled until I can no longer hold on to my sense of self and blow away like a handful of ash on the wind. But I don't have to hold on. Mam's got you, Darren. I feel the words more than hear them. And she does. I can feel her will controlling our dissolution, as smooth and effortless as whisking eggs in a bowl. Then it's the frying pan. Mam finds a magic vent, a natural pathway for magic to seep up to the surface from the core, and we flush down it like a drain pipe into the dark below, following a vast network of vents at the speed of thought. We come closer to the core, but not close. The power at the center of the world is still an immensely distant thing, but here, without sunlight to burn the magic away, everything is saturated with it, humming the call of the core. A sound resonating in my mind, so beautiful it is nearly impossible to resist. All I want to do is get closer, to snuggle up to it like a fireplace on a cold night. But get too close, and you get burned, like Dad. I never met him, but I've got a picture in my mind. He looks something like Granda and something like his paintings and statues and nothing at all like me. I think of him diving into the core, like a wooden doll thrown on the fire. I see him burning and I scream. And then I'm solid again, materializing in Duchess Paper's private office. It's a small, intimate space, but I'm still screaming. I try to stop, but it needs to run its course until the need for air forces my body to pause long enough to suck in a breath. I feel everyone's eyes on me. But worse is what I feel through the bond with Mam. Pity. Shame. I pull my hand away and turn my back on the reception, sleeving my tears away before I turn to face everyone. Their eyes are all down, politely giving me time to compose myself. But I can smell their pity, their embarrassment at having been forced to witness my humiliation. Part of me wishes I had answered the Corps' call, gone down and burned away just like Da. The song is so beautiful. It can't feel worse than this. Olive and Selen look at me with the eyes of strangers. I pull in a deep breath and straighten as quick as I can, but the damage is done. How many times has Mam misted me here to Antleash's office? Never made a fool of myself before, but now, when we ain't been here 5 summers, this is how I make my entrance. Selen and Olive and I used to play wanderers and regulars in this very room, hiding in the folds of the banner behind the Duchess's desk, or somewhere within the wall of heavy curtains. Nothing has changed. Duchess Leisha and General Garrod sit at the centre of the room to greet us, but I barely see them, my eyes drawn to the princesses. Selen and Olive were my first friends, and if I'm honest, I never really made others. Because who could compare? Who else in all the world understood me? But the children I recall bear little resemblance to the women I see. They were always taller than me, but everyone said that would change in a few years. It hasn't. Olive was always a little vain, obsessed with fancy clothes and hair, but she's mastered the spell since I've been gone. She's everything boys look for in a pretty girl. But she doesn't smell like Olive anymore. Even from across the room, I can smell the wax and dust and colourful herbs in the paint and powder on her face. The scents mix with her perfume into a vapour that burns my nostrils. If I focus on it too long, it will give me a headache that will last for days. Her gown is pristine, trimmed with lace and wards stitched in silver thread. Thick, muscled arms strain her sleeves. A circlet of gold holds back long, lustrous black hair, oiled with essence of flowers. I am suddenly aware of my own shabby appearance, barefoot, in a plain tan shirt and overalls rolled to my shins. Fine for Tibet's brook, where everyone's got dirt under their fingernails. Clean even, for the warded children, most of whom go weeks or months without a bath. But here in the royal keep, I look like a hound that chased a cat through the mud. Mam ain't much better in her homespun work dress, but she and Aunt Leisha don't much like each other, and she's always taken pleasure in tweaking the Duchess's nose. I glance at Selen, grown much as Olive. Taller and broader, her pale brown hair is woven in a simple braid, and her gown is of coarser cloth, but still finer by far than anything in Tibet's brook. Her face is blushed from fresh scrubbing, but I smell a remnant of wax. She'd been painted for this meeting and purposely washed it off. I smile without meaning to. Selen's mouth quirks in return, and she throws me a secret wink that hits me like a punch in the chest. Selen Cutter never needed paints or powders to hit me. I wink back, and just like that, everything is all right. General Cutter is the first to break the peace, having decided he's waited long enough to pretend my little display never happened. Darin, come give your Uncle Garrod a hug. He lunges forward and tries to sweep his arms around me like he did when I was 5. Like then, I let myself go slippery, sliding out of his grasp. I don't like being touched. I remember shrieking with laughter as we played that game. The general is laughing right now, but I'm not 5 anymore and I wish he'd just stop. The Duchess clucks. Do I need to chase you for a hug, Darren Bales? She spreads her arms. Mam stiffens, but I know better than to slip this one, and I don't mind hugging Aunt Leisha. The Duchess's heartbeat is strong and steady, and she doesn't paint herself like Olive. Aunt Leisha's hands smell of soap, but I catch a hint of fresh soil on her fingers. She's been to the garden recently. deep pockets in her dress are stuffed with dried herbs, enough to produce any number of remedies on the spot. Her hands are gentle, but they are not soft. They squeeze tight, and I feel safe. I smell Mam's irritation as the embrace lingers. I think Aunt Leisha feels it too, and we both let go and take a step back. Aunt Leisha reaches out, brushing back the tangle of brown locks that normally hide my eyes. My, how you've grown. Starting to look a bit like your father. I know not to argue, but the idea is ridiculous. In paintings, Da is 7 feet tall and covered in muscle. Mum says that's all nonsense, but I find it hard to imagine he looked much like me. I'm not particularly tall or strong, and even got a spot of whiskers on my chin. If I'm to give honest word, I'm not much to look at. I toss my head just a little to shake the hair back across my eyes. Leisha. Mam steps forward, already smelling of irritation. She gives a nod of respect. Renna. The Duchess bows to her in turn. Her tone is respectful, even intimate, but it isn't loving. Aye, Renna! General Cutter booms, giving her the hug meant for me. He lifts her feet from the floor and spins about. Garrod Cutter, you put me down, Mam cries. But she's laughing as well and hugs him tight when he sets her on the floor. Missed you too, Ger. How's Amelia? General looks like he swallowed a peach pit at the mention of his wife. Same as ever. Mam laughs. That bad, eh? Olive, Duchess Leisha says, it's been a few years since Darren visited. Why don't you and Selin show him around while Mrs. Bales and I have tea? Olive flashes me a bright smile, but I catch irritation in her scent. I can't blame her. I'd rather stay and listen in on the adults than walk around the keep with her watching me to make sure I don't touch or sit on anything for fear I'll dirty it. Before anyone else moves, Selin sweeps over and holds out an arm, amusement in her eyes and scent alike. Come on, dear. Let's go play Wanderers and Regulars. I take her arm without hesitation. I'd go anywhere, if it was with Selin Cutter. Aunt Leisha's keep is beautiful in ward sight. Most places have ambient magic drifting along the ground like fireflies, waiting for emotion or force of will to draw it. Even well-warded places always have a bit floating around, like dust in a sunbeam. But Aunt Leisha's keep is spotless. My eyes run along the wards, trimming the walls, lintels, and jambs as Selin leads us down into the underkeep. The symbols shine like electric bulbs to guide our way. Not a speck of energy wasted in the air. More than that, the wards talk to one another. Power runs along the grid like raindrops down a window, gathering excess magic and allocating it around the keep as the Duchess wills. When I had 10 summers, it felt like the safest place in the world. But that was 5 summers ago. Now the halls run with ghosts. Olive, Selin, and I hiding, hunting, and chasing one another through these same corridors, laughing all the while. But now we're acting like strangers. Aren't we a little old for wanderers and regulars? I ask as we reach an empty landing. Selin snorts, dropping my arm and rounding on me. She puffs a breath to blow the hair from my eyes. Demons attacked you too? I blink. Aye. Were you hurt? The irritation is gone from Olive's scent, replaced by concern. Suddenly the years melt away, and I realise I've been a fool. Just scrapes and bruises, I say. I was trying to lure a demon out of the trees with my pipes, so Aunt Celia could kill it. You figured it out? Selin asks. You can use those pipes for more than giving us something to dance to. Darren, that's incredible, Olive says. Both of them smell proud. Olive and Selim were always the brave ones. I'm faster, but somehow I was always chasing after them. They look at me with new respect, no doubt imagining me in some heroic stand against the demons with my music, like Harry Roller. They don't know how I failed, again and again, nearly getting everyone killed. It would be easy not to tell them. No one's going to say different. Just a bit of glory to wash away some of my humiliation in the Duchess's office. But it ain't honest. When it's one calling and I've got Aunt Celia standing over me to keep me safe and Harry at the ready to take over if I slip up. But when it was a copse of wood demons trying to kill us, all I could do was run for help. It wasn't much different for us, Olive says. I would have died before I even got my spear up, if not for Mika. A chill runs down my spine as I remember the attack on Olive was occurring at almost exactly the same time. Hundreds of miles distant. It can't be coincidence. Mika? Her words finally catch up to my racing mind. What did Nanny Mika do? Oh, they didn't tell you either. Olive leans in. Nanny Mika is... Psst! A voice hisses, making me jump. There is little point in keeping to the shadows, sister, if you're going to blurt my secrets aloud in an open hall. Instinctively, I go slippery as a Krasian warrior slides out of a dark alcove. She is slender and light-footed, but no one's ever gotten so close without me sensing it. Some sort of powder masks her scent. She is of a size with Nanny Mika, but her heartbeat, stance, movements, even her aura are all different. How can it be the same woman? But it is. Hiding from you was always a challenge, son of Arlen. Mika's voice is as kind as I remember. Come. She leads us down the corridors to a heavy stone door that opens to a circular practice room. I see wards of silence on the frame as she closes the door behind us. No sound will escape this chamber. Welcome back. Darren, Asu, Arlen, Arm Bales, Arm Brook, Mika says. Long have I waited to see the Parcheen's son reach manhood. Cheen is an insult in Krasian. It technically means outsider, someone lacking Krasian blood, but in practice it is synonymous with weakling and coward. My father was the first Cheen in centuries to live and fight among the Krasians, earning him the singular title of Parcheen, or Brave Outsider. Asu means son. Asu Arlen, the Parcheen's son. Mika was always kind to me, but just like every other adult, she doesn't see me, just my dad's child. Selim puts her back against mine, measuring my height against hers. She's head and neck taller than me, with Olive not much shorter. Think he's a few summers short of manhood, Mika. A warrior is more than his stature, Mika says. The Sharasak of the warded children is revered even among heroes. The words are respectful, but there is something in Mika's scent. A challenge. I shrug. Never liked fighting. Neither did Princess Olive. Yet fighting has found you both. It would please me to see what training you have. Will you spar? Against you? The last thing I expected from this visit was for Olive's nanny to challenge me to a fight. I don't think I could ever hit her. And I don't think I'd stand much chance even if I tried. Mika bows. It would be an honour, but I meant against one of my students. She smiles. If your pride can handle sparring with your friends. The scent of challenge is clear now. She thinks either of the girls can put me on my back, and looking at them, I'm not certain she's wrong. Olive and Selim both return the look, eyes suddenly predatory. They know it too. Since we arrived, I've been on my back foot. From the moment I materialised, screaming and crying, to admitting I ran from the demons on Solstice. Olive and Selim will always be my friends, but if I don't catch myself soon, things aren't ever going to be the same between us. I take off the satchel and pipes, setting them safely in a cubby on the wall. Think my pride can manage? Turn your back and close your eyes, Olive orders. Count to 100. I do, and hear the rustling of cloth behind me. I breathe steadily, trying not to imagine the two princesses undressing. 100. I turn at last and see Olive and Selen waiting in the ring in Sharasark robes. I move to face them, bowing. The challenge was mine, son of Arlen, Mika says. Honor grants you the choice of opponent. Olive and Selen stand cross-armed, reeking of confidence. And why not? Their biceps are thicker than my thighs. But there's really only one choice, if I want everyone's respect. Olive, first pin wins. Mika gestures, and Olive steps forward, a comfortable smile on her face. I'll go easy on you, she promises. Really think you're going to win this? I ask. Olive throws a laugh. No offence, Dara, but you don't have a chance. Willing to bet on it? I ask. We'll double your money, Selen sneers from outside the circle. Ain't got any money, I smile. How about, if Olive can pin me, I'll let you dress me in fancy silk breeches and a velvet coat like when we were kids. Olive's eyes glitter at the words. I have a lace cravat that will look just precious once we dump a bucket of water over you and drag a comb through that thicket on your head. Mika hangs back, smelling amused, content to let this play out. But if you tap out before a pin, I tell Olive, you can't powder your face for a fortnight. Selen laughs. Now it's interesting. I spare her a glance. And you can't wash your powder off. Call with that, Selen says. I ain't even fighting. Double my money. You promised, I remind her. Selen puts her hands on her hips. Fine. And like we're going to have to pay. Olive claps in delight, then turns and eyes me like a barn cat that's found a mouse. Begin. Olive lunges before the word is fully out of Mika's mouth. Psst! Mika hisses. I did not. Neither of us are paying attention. Olive is quick, but not quick enough. She'd have caught a normal opponent, but to me she moves like she's thigh deep in water. It's simple to step aside and dance away as she is forced to take a step in the wrong direction to arrest her momentum. She comes at me more cautiously now, and I know I won't fool her again. She starts to circle, winding closer with each pass. I can see by the set of her feet and her fists that she knows what she's doing. Mam tried to teach me to fight. Celia and Granda too. But I never liked it, and was as apt to disappear as show up for lessons. I've always been better at running away than fighting. Olive fakes a lunge. When I sidestep, she uses her momentum to spin into a kick so smooth and fast it nearly connects. She's limber, a kick high as a dancer's, but that works to her disadvantage as I duck under and give her thigh a shove as it passes, throwing her off balance. I put one hand on the floor, scissoring my legs to take her support leg out from under her. I rush in to put her in a headlock as she falls, but Olive recovers faster than I expect, twisting on the floor to throw a punch. I exhale and go slippery. Olive's fist slides off my jaw without impact, but it's too close for comfort. I skitter back to recover as she kicks her feet into the air and snaps them back down hard enough to whip herself upright. Almost had you, she says, and I know she's right. If not for my powers, the fight would likely have ended there. But Olive has powers too. I've never seen an aura like hers, and she's always been stronger than anyone has a right to be. That's why it had to be her. She comes in, punching and kicking. I slip around the blows, but Olive isn't just strong, she's fast, and knows how to position me from one strike to the next. It's all I can do to keep ahead of her, mostly by giving ground. She smiles, taking my retreat as a sign of her dominance. She may well be right. I try not to think about that as I pick my moment and rush in. Faster than she can follow, I slip around Olive's guard, grabbing her arm. I twist, positioning my legs to break her balance as I pivot into a throw. Only Olive doesn't move. I strain, but her muscles are like iron. Too late, I realize the trap. Before I can exhale and slip away, she punches me in the chest. It's like being kicked by a horse. I'm thrown from my feet and hit the floor hard, skidding dangerously close to the circle's edge. If I cross the line, I forfeit the match. She rushes in, and it's all I can do just to keep from being pinned. Olive, heavier, stronger, and nearly as fast, has the advantage at wrestling. I turn slippery, popping from her grasp like a snap pea from its pot, but I'm starting to reckon I was overconfident, challenging Olive ripping paper to a fight. I can only imagine what foppish ensemble they'll dress me in if I lose. I give up offence entirely, making her chase me around the ring as I slip her punches and attempts to grapple. I don't tire as easily as most folk, yet Olive keeps pace. Her heart and lungs pump faster, but she is not out of breath. You're not getting away that easily, Da. I nod and turn to face her. She throws a punch and I slap it aside, coming in fast. I deliver a hook to her ribs with all the strength I have, but if Olive so much as feels the blow, it doesn't show. In return, I get an open palm to the temple that sends me sprawling. Olive pounces, grabbing my wrists, but I go slippery, sliding from her grip. I grab the back of her robe, wriggling around to get behind her. She tries to keep hold of me, but it's like trying to catch a greased piglet at a solstice festival. Once I'm on her back, she pushes off hard and flips over backward, slamming me into the hardwood floor. It knocks the breath from me, but doesn't stop me from snaking an arm around her throat. I wrap my legs around her, digging my heels into her hips. Then I suck in and shrink. Olive pulls at my arm around her throat, and her strength is enormous. I can never match her muscle for muscle, but when I suck in, I become denser. Olive might as well be pulling against steel cables. She gives up, instead driving her elbows into my ribs. I can't go slippery, but it doesn't matter. The smaller I get, the tougher and more numb I become. I barely feel the blows, even as the impacts rack her with pain, like driving her elbows into a goldwood tree. Still, Olive struggles, first managing to get to her knees, then to stand up fully, even as I ride on her back. I see her look toward the wall. Step out of the ring to ram me against the wall, and you forfeit, I remind her. She lets out a grunt and throws herself backward again. But the impact does more damage to the floorboards than it does to me. She starts to go limp, but I can hear her heartbeat and I'm not fooled. I wait as she tries to gather her strength in hope I will loosen my grasp. It is only as her heart truly begins to slow that she taps my thigh. Psst! I release Olive immediately at Mika's hiss. I exhale and go slippery again, sliding away to put some distance between us. For the first time, Mika gives me a warrior's bow. I underestimated you, son of Arlen. I shrug. Just magic tricks. Cheating, you mean? Olive's voice is hoarse. I turn to her, thankful for the locks of hair that fall across my eyes, saving me from having to meet her glare. Wasn't the only one using magic in that fight, Olive Paper. And you know it. Olive keeps the scowl on her face, but she knows better than to argue. Fights are not won by magic alone, Mika says. As much to Olive as me. Both of you did well. This mean I need to go ask Teresa to make me up again? Selen asks, as Olive sits at the vanity in their chambers, scrubbing the powder from her face. Just a dumb bet, I say. You don't have to. The call we don't, Olive says. I'll paint it myself. We sure as the sun would have dressed you up if you'd lost. The brave words are belied by her scent. Olive hates being seen without her smelly paints, powders and perfumes, though for the life of me, I can't understand why. Mika is back in her shapeless robes. I remember Olive's nanny chasing us all over the keep, trying to keep us out of trouble. Who better to be a hidden bodyguard? I'm tracking her all the time now. But even in plain sight, Mika has a way of fading into the background so well it makes my usual lurking seem downright social. Olive drags Selen to the vanity, grinning. Selen huffs, but her scent is amused. Just because you lost doesn't mean you can't have a bath and clean clothes, Darren. Olive notes as she begins powdering Selen's face with a soft brush. Had a bath 2 days ago, I say. Clean clothes too. Soap stink only just wore off. I'm not exactly giving my honest word. Truer is, I'd love a soak in hot water and a set of clothes fresh off the line, but I like tweaking their noses more. The years melt away, and things are back the way they used to be. I reach into my satchel for the pipes as Olive works. I'm still taut with adrenaline after the fighting, but as I begin to play, I fall into the music, and my tension eases. "Aye, Darren," Selen says. "When did you get so good at that?" I have to suppress a stupid smile at the compliment. I shrug instead, continuing to play. Then something unexpected happens. Mika begins to sing. At first it is a wordless harmony, weaving itself in and out of my tune. But her voice rises in power and soon she is leading me, singing boldly in Crasian. I speak the language, but the intonations are different in song. Her words are hard to follow as I struggle to keep pace with her shifts and changes. Sweat gathers on my upper lip as I slide my wind from pipe to pipe, taking quick breaths between notes. When Mika finally ends the song, Olive and Selen burst into applause, the powder kit forgotten. "Who taught you the Song of Waning?" Mika asks. The song was another relic of the war, the first written music to charm demons. "It was the first thing I started practicing when Mum brought Harry Roller in to coach me." Mika nods knowingly. "The honour of Master Roller is boundless. My Jiwa, Kendall, was also an apprentice of his. Armies of demons danced to his music in the war." "He saved everyone's lives back in Solstice," I say. "But I didn't see much dancing. It was all we could do just to keep from being cored." "Apologies. I meant no disrespect." Mika bows, dropping her eyes to the carpet. "We were all taken unawares on Solstice. But we are all siblings in the night. And together, we can prevail."